Okay, so this is something that we've covered a little bit, but it's kedai to come back to it now. If you remember, we said that the Mishnah teaches me on Kuf Mem Hey that Kol Dover Shabba B'chamin Lifnei HaShabbos Shor Nosa B'chamin B'Shabbos, which means that there is a din of ein bishul achar bishul, that there's no cooking an item. You don't violate the malacha bishul once the item was already cooked. Right? That's the basic halacha. Ein bishul achar bishul. That's like the basic yesod in Judaism. The question, though, is, does ein bishul achar bishul apply by a davar lach? Does it apply by a liquid? So what we have over here is a machlokes harishonim, and it's a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Rambam. The Mechaber paskins, like the shita of the Rush, actually, the Mechaber paskins like the Rush, that when I say ein bishul achar bishul, that only applies to solids. By liquids, I paskin that yesh bishul achar bishul. That's the shita of the Rush. The Mechaber therefore would say that any liquid item that dropped beneath Yad Soledespo, you're not allowed to reheat. And what we spoke about yesterday is it could be that for these purposes I use the higher shita of Yad Soledespo, which might be around 175 degrees Fahrenheit. According to the Mechaber, we paskin that by a davar lach, yesh bishul achar bishul, like the Rush says in Simin Yud, etc. However, the Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam holds that the klal of ein bishul achar bishul is categorical. It applies bein bedavar yavesh, bein bedavar lach, no matter what. We say the rule is that ein bishul achar bishul. That's the psak of the Rambam. Now, we have to figure out what the Ramah holds. Does the Ramah agree fundamentally with the Rush, or that there is yesh bishul achar bishul by lach? Or does the Ramah agree fundamentally like the Rambam that ein bishul achar bishul by dover lach? Now, just one very brief ha'ara. You know, according to halachic methodology, it should be that the Mechaber follows the Rambam and the Ramah follows the Rush. No? Because the Mechaber, the Sfaradi posek, should follow the Sfaradi approach of the Rambam. And the Ramah should follow the Rush and the Bali HaTosfis, that there would be, like Ashkenaz Psak, there's a famous comment attributed to Reb Velvel Soloveitchik, that the only time in Shulchan Aruch where we see that the Ramah paskins like the Sfaradim and the Mechaber paskins like the Ashkenazim is by Hadlakas Neres Chanukah. By Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, because Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, the Bali HaTosfos say, only one person should light, and you should light the candles in a way that the first night you have one, second night two, third night three, right, etc. That's the psak of the Bali HaTosfos. And that's the psak of the Mechaber. However, the Ramah seems to say a little differently. The Ramah says, like the psak of the Rambam, fundamentally, that everyone is supposed to light candles. Everyone is supposed to light candles, or the Baal HaBayis is supposed to light for everybody. That's really the shita of the Rambam, that I don't care to know which night of Chanukah it is. So they say from Reb Velvel Soloveitchik that the only time in Judaism where we see that the Mechaber holds like the Ashkenazim, like the Rush and the Tosfos, and the Ramah holds like the Sfaradim, like the Rambam, it's only by Hadlakas Neres Chanukah. However, what we're going to see is that over here, It's entirely possible, and I would say very likely, that we have the same thing. That the Sfardim, that the Mechaber would hold, like the Rush, that Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol by Dover Lach, that's Pashut, that the Mechaber holds like the Rush. Within the Ramah, we're going to have some discussion, but I'd say the Pashtus in the Ramah is that the Ramah holds that fundamentally Ein Bishol Achar Bishol by Dover Lach, like the Rambam. So here also we have a Mechaber paskening like the Balei HaTosis and the Ramah paskening like the Rambam. It's another instance of that unusual situation. Okay, so let's go on. Se'if Tesvov. Now we can read it. Davish and the special called Sarko v'hu Yavesh she'ein bo Marak mutar lahanicho keneged ha'madura afil b'makom she'ayad zoledes bo. That means if I have something that is fully cooked, and it's a dry item, says the Mechaber. Dry means that there is no liquid in it, so you're allowed to put it next to the fire in a place that's Yad Zeledes. Meaning, says the Mechaber, I'm not allowed to take the Dover Yavesh and put it directly on top of the fire. Because a Dover Yavesh, if I put it directly on the fire, it looks like I'm cooking on Shabbos. It's Mechzik Mevashel. Or there's a concern of Shema Yechata Begecholim. Maybe I will stoke the coals. So there's an Issa D'Rabbanon that I cannot put a fully cooked Dover Yavesh on top of a fire mamish. But the Mechaber said, if it's mamish al gabe ha'esh, right? On top of the fire, for the Mechaber, that's forbidden, but that's forbidden mid-Rabbanon. You're allowed to take that item, which was fully cooked, and put it next to the fire. Because once this item is a dry item and it was fully cooked, so there is ein bishal achar bishal, I can't put it directly on the fire. That's going to be an iser dirabonon. But I could put it next to the fire. That's the shita of the Mechaber. Okay. So next to the fire probably means, according to many Rishonim, it means that there is a dofen mafsik, meaning you have a fire, let's say, inside a contained oven, and you put it next to that fire. There is a bit of a question as to whether you're allowed to put it in the oven itself at a distance from the actual fire. In other words, to put it really in proximity, there's no dover that's mafsik between the fire and the food. If you look in the Mishnah Brew, so what we have, again, let's say I have a hot plate, so I can't put it, I have a blech on top of a fire, I can't put it directly on the blech for the Mechaber, but I could put it next to the blech. Right? Even though it's in a place next to the blech that it can become Yad Soledespo, but it still is mutter because Ein Bishol Achar Bishol Vayodover Yavesh. Ad Kan Divrei HaMechaber. Here, if you look in the Mishnah Brura in Ost Sadi Dalid, so Mishnah Brura points out Keneged HaMadura. So he quotes, right, something that we spoke about yesterday a little bit. Nakat neged hamadura velo etzel hamadura, lahora shatzarch laharchik ktsas min hamadura. It has to be a little bit far away from the fire. And that's why I'm not choshe sholachin lo chayshinon sheyavo lachtos be'esh. Dekeman shetzvichu chachomim laharchik ktsas, isle hekeira velo asa lachduyei. Meaning, I'm not going to stoke the flames, because it's a little bit far away, right? Yesterday we spoke about my stira in the rush, as to whether the word keneged means at a bit of a distance, or does the word keneged means mamish right next to it, right? We said that this rush contradicted a rush in Perek Bame Madlikin, and we wanted to explain, like in some drush we spoke yesterday, about how this might relate to Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samed, right? That was my insight. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes that according to the Rush, right, and he's accepting that Rush, So when I say keneged hamadura, it can't be mamish next to the fire. There has to be a teeny bit of distance. And then he continues, very easy, eza achronim shekosu demayri shaya osa madura bifnei atzma. Aval kishamaduras eitzim betocha tanur osur lahachnisham kedera afil markik tzasmin hamadura kemen shumokim shayad soledespo. Right? In other words, the Mishnah Berurah says that this entire halacha, according to many achronim, is only when you have a fire on the outside. Then the Rush says you have to keep the food at some distance from the fire. But if I'm putting the food, the dry food, the davar yavesh, I'm putting it into the oven, says the Mishnah Berurah, that many achronim assume that that's going to be usur. That's going to be usur. However, he continues that maybe there is room to be mekol. Achim eino maimed, like the last line in this Mishnah Berurah, sivkot tzadi dalin. Eino maimed is hakedera al karkos hatanur. Kima eze keli hamafsik. Right, al karkos hatanur. If I don't put the pot on the floor of the oven, but I have a keli that's mafsik, then you could be mekol. In other words, according to Mishnah Berurah, if I put the food in the oven, the fully cooked dry food, if I put it in the oven on top of a keli, then it's okay. Even though there's a fire in the oven, but it's distant from the fire, and you have this pot that's mafsik that creates some sort of recognition that you're not going to stoke the flames, then it's okay. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So let's just review. According to the Mechaber, if I have dry food, and the food was mevushal kol tzarka, right? That's what he writes. Dovish and nispashel kol tzarka. Meaning, if the food was only cooked partially, if it's only cooked kemacho ben shrusoi, there's no heter. If it's only cooked a third of the way, a half the way, there's no heter. But if I have a food that was fully cooked, a dry food that's fully cooked, I'm allowed to put it next to a fire. The Mishnah Berurah says next to a fire means at some little distance. It can't be mamish next to it. It can't be on top of it. It has to be at some distance. That's the shita of the Mechaber. Zak the Rama. Okay, now let's read the Rama. Rama writes, Va'afil nitztanin kvar, im hu roseach, afilu bedover sheyesh bo marak, is mutter. If it is nitztanin kvar, right? Va'afil nitztanin kvar, even if it cooled down, period, even if it cooled down, a davar yavesh that cooled down, the Rama agrees with the Mechaber, I'm allowed to put it next to the fire. A davar yavesh that cooled down, a dry thing, your kugel, you're allowed to put it next to the fire. Aval im hu roseach, afilu b'davar sheyesh bo marak is mutter. If it is mamish boiling, if it's cold, you could only put a davar yavesh next to the fire. But if it's a roseach, if it's burning hot, afilu b'davar sheyesh bo marak, even if there is some moisture with it, even if there is soup in it, it still is mutter when it's odor roseach to put it next to the fire. V'yesh mekilim leimar, dekol she'eno nosno al gabe ha'esh o hakira mamish, rak samoch lo afilu nitztanein mutter. But the Yesh Mekilim say that that there's no bishul achar bishul by a dover lach, that even if it's completely cold, right, so long as I'm not putting it directly on the fire, it's mutter. Right? V'nahagu lahakil bazeh im lo nitztanein legamrei. The minig is that we're mekel. So let's just chazer iber. The Rama quotes two opinions. The first opinion of the Rama is that a liquid can only be put next to the fire if it's still boiling. If it's Odo Roseach, that's the first opinion of the Ramah. That means that by a liquid, fundamentally, Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol, the only time Ein Bishol Achar Bishol is when it's mamish boiling. But then the Ramah quotes another opinion. The other opinion is the Yesh Mekilin, who say that liquids, even if it fully cooled down, it's mutter to put next to the fire. That Yesh Mekilin is the Rambam that will say Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, right? Yesh Mekilin Lomar de Kosha Eino Nosno Agabe Ha'esh O Hakira Mamish Rak Samachlo Afilu Nitzdanin is mutter. That even though it cooled down, it's going to be mutter. Because fundamentally I hold that Ein Bishol Achar Bishol by Dover Lach. Fundamentally I hold that there is no Bishol Achar Bishol here. Even a Dover that's tzonein, it's cold chicken soup, cold water, providing it was heated up one time beforehand, you're allowed, according to the Yesh Mekilim, you're allowed to put it next to the fire. Not on the fire, but next to the fire. Even if it's next to the fire, it's going to boil up. The Yesh Mekilim says it's okay. That's the Yesh Mekilim. Because they assume that Ein Bishol Achar Bishol by Dover Lach, once it was cooked once, once it boiled once, you're allowed to put it next to the fire and boil it nochamol. That is the Yesh Mekilim. The Ramah writes, V'nohagu lahokel bozeh, im lo nitztanin legamrei. The minhag is a bit of a compromise. The minhag is that if I have a liquid, if the liquid cooled off completely, it's down to room temperature, so then we're machmir. But if the liquid is hotter than nitztanein legamrei, if it is still considered lukewarm, if it's still warm, lukewarm, right? That's what the Alter Rebbe writes in Shin Yud Ches If Tes. People still eat it and they consider it a shtickle warm, so then it is mutter. The minag is that a dover lach, that a liquid that was already cooked, the Ramah says, I'm allowed to put it next to the fire to heat it up, so long as it didn't completely cool down. Once it completely cooled down, then it's usser. So there are two ways of learning this Ramah. You could learn the Ramah that fundamentally he holds Ein Bishol Achar Bishol by Dover Lach, but he decides to throw a Chumrah in. He decides to throw in a tiny Chumrah, and the Chumrah that he throws in is, you know what, if it's Nitztanein Legamrei, it's Osir. Right? The Svara is that it looks like you're being too makel. We don't like Jews. It looks conservative. You know, like, to take cold liquid and to heat it up, right? People won't know. I'll say it like this. People won't know that the liquid was previously heated. So there's like a Maris Ayin of sorts. So therefore, absolutely not. But min ha... It's okay. Exactly. Whoa, let's go slowly. The Ramah writes that we are nohag this way. According to the Ramah, chicken soup... Now again, if the chicken soup is on the counter and it became room temperature, I would say that's called nitztanein legamrei for the Ramah. The Ramah is saying lo nitztanein legamrei means that I took the soup out of the oven an hour ago, and the soup still has a shtickle warmth to it, so I'm allowed to reheat that soup next to the oven. The minig is to reheat the soup next to the oven. That's what the Ramah says. But if it completely cooled down, it's usser. And you could... So, it's usser. And you could learn the Ramah, that the Ramah fundamentally holds Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, but, right, Ein Bishol Achar Bishol by a Dover Lach, but Sepasnisht, to be so makel, and to say that when it cooled off completely, you're allowed to reheat it, because people won't know that it was ever heated completely. People won't know it ever boiled. So it's like a Maris Ayin of sorts. And therefore, we are Machmir if it's Nitztanin Legamre. That is the way the Mishneh Berurah learns the Ramah. Look at the Mishneh Berurah Sifkot and Sadi Tes. The Mishneh Berurah writes, After Ladas HaMechaber, Kevan Shenitztanin Me'at Mechami Muso, Ve'en Ayad Seiledes Bo, Shuv Yesh Bo Mishum Bishol, even though according to the Mechaber, as long as it dips beneath Yad Seiledes Bo, there is still Bishol, like we wrote, Kimo Shekasavnu Le'on Se'if Dalid. Nonetheless, HaMinig L'Hakel Bazeh, Disom Chenayesh Mekilin, Kozman, Shalom Nitztanin Legamrei. We rely on the Yesh Mekilim. We rely on the Rambam who says that Ein Bishol Achar Bishol by Dover Lach. It's a categorical statement. Kol Zman it's lo nitztanin legamre. I rely on Kol Zman it's lo nitztanin legamre. I rely on the Rambam. That's the psak of the Ramah as understood by the Mishneh Berurah. This is the psak of the Ramah, understood by Rav Moshe Feinstein in Chelek Aleph Siman Sadi Tes. This is the psak of the Ramah, as understood by Rav Shlomo Zalman Urbach in Chelek Beis Siman Lamed Dalid O Schof Gimel. This is the psak of the Ramah, as understood by the Sefer Minchas Kohen, and according to many Sfarim. I would say this is the mainstream psak in the Ramah. However, the Magen Avram, Rabbi Abraham Gumbiner, the Magen Avram says that you totally misunderstood. The Magen Avram is not over here. The Magen Avram is in Simen Reish Nun Gimel. And the Magen Avram over there in Simen Reish Nun Gimel Os. The Magen Avram in Simen Reish Nun Gimel Oslamid Zayin, the Magen Avram says, you know what? The Ramah holds that there is an Isser D'Oraisa to reheat liquid that cooled down completely. Fundamentally, the Ramah holds that Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol by a Dover Lach, the Rush is Shita, the Ramah really holds like the Rush, that Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol by Dover Lach. The only... No, the Rambam holds that fundamentally Ein Bishol Achar Bishol by a Dover Lach. The Rush holds that fundamentally Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol by Dover Lach. It could be, explains the Magen Avraham, that the Ramah holds that there's an Isser D'Oraisa if you reheat a liquid. But that Isser D'Oraisa is only once the liquid completely cooled down. If the liquid completely cooled down, if it's Nitztanin Legamre, then there is an Isser D'Oraisa to reheat it according to the Magen Avraham. So this is a fundamental machlokes, no? The shaila as to what the Ramah paskins. Again, the Ramah has like this complicated psak. He says the minug is that if it completely cooled down, it is usser to reheat it. A liquid that can... Because the Ramah holds that once it completely cooled down, it's usser to reheat it. But the question... So, I'm heating it. So that would mean that it's an Isser D'Oraisa. That's the psak of the Ramah. It's not reheating. If I take soup out of the refrigerator and I put it next to the oven, according to the Ramah, that is going to be an Isser d'oraisa, says the Magen Avraham. But, because your mamish cooking it, it cooled down. It's totally cooking the first time. It's like cooking it the first time. Asar min haTorah. But the other psak, the other pshat in the Ramah, the way Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach say, the other pshat in the Ramah is that, you know what, even if it cooled down completely, there is no bishul min haTorah. It's only asar midrabanan to reheat it, even though it cooled down completely. That's a big machlokas. And what we could do is we could give a bunch of nafkaminas. Ready? Can you, let's say you have a catering business, and you're a catering business, and you want to serve soup at Shabbos lunch. Can you have a goy take the soup out of the refrigerator and put it next to the fire? According to the Magen Avraham, that's mamish usser, because you're asking the goy to do an isser d'oraisa for you. But according to Reb Moshe Feinstein and Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, right, one could say it's going to be mutter, because what you're doing is you're asking a goy to take soup out of the refrigerator, since the soup was already cooked. So fundamentally, ein bishal achar bishal, it's only osir midrabonon to recook it. To ask a goy to do an iser derabonon letzorech se'udas Shabbos is okay. So that's a big nafgamina, no? According to the Magen Avraham, I don't think anyone would do this, no. Right? In other words, again, there's a difference between what people do and what the halacha should be. One could make a strong case. And again, you can split in different ways. You could say, Rav Shechta has a lumdus that this is going to be usser, even according to the Rush. But one could certainly make a case that according to the Rush, that Ein Bishal, according to the Rambam, I said it backwards, one can make a case that according to the Rambam, that Ein Bishal Achar Bishal by Dover Lach, if the Ramah holds like that Rambam, so then maybe it's mutter to ask a goy to put soup next to the fire on Shabbos. That would be Lecha Ora. That would be the mainstream psak. You can't have it go directly on the fire, because if it goes directly on the fire, there is some concern that you might stoke the coals, you might raise the temperature on the fire, something like that. But to put it next to the fire, right, you could say that according to the Ramah, it is mutter min haTorah, and therefore a goy could be asked to do it for you. That is true. But according to the Mug, that's true. By the way, No. L'chatchila, I don't think it's more kal than davar yavesh. It could be that it's the same as davar yavesh, that once it was cooked, it's mutter to reheat. It's not going to be more mekel, right? It's going to be the zel berzach. So that's one nafgamina. Another nafgamina is a case that we spoke about the other day. Let's say I am taking soup out of my pot with my ladle. So the best thing to do is to leave the ladle inside the soup pot. But let's say I take my ladle out of the soup pot, and there are a few drops of liquid on the ladle. And those drops of liquid have been nitztanen legamre, because I haven't used my ladle in 20 minutes. It cools down very quickly, a few drops. Am I allowed to put that ladle back into the soup? Can I put that ladle back into the bowl of, into the pot of soup, which is a kli rishon? So if you hold that, like the Magen Avraham, that the Ramah fundamentally says that yesh bishul achar bishul by a dover lach, so then to put your ladle back into the soup would be an iser d'oraisa on those few drops. However, the Shvisas HaShabbos says that no, fundamentally the Ramah holds, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah would say, also l'cha'ira,
that fundamentally the Rama holds that ain bishal achar bishal by dover lach. The fact that the Rama is meko on its tanein legamre, it could be, says the Shvisas HaShabbos, excuse me, the fact that the Rama is machmir on its tanein legamre, I'm getting a little bit drunk. When the Rama is machmir on its tanein legamre, it's a chumra midrabonon. But says the Shvisas HaShabbos, that Chumra Midrabanan only applies when there is some significant accumulation of liquid. If I have a few drops on the ladle, so the Shvisas HaShabbos writes that you're allowed to reinsert the ladle into the pot. Again, we have the Ramah who says that you're allowed to reheat a liquid if it's not Nitzdanin Legamre. If it is Nitztanin Legamre, so there's a Machlokas Magen Avram versus the rest of Judaism, as to whether it's Aser Min HaTorah to reheat the liquid, or Aser Min Derabbanan, Bidas HaRama. According to the Magen Avram, that's Aser Min HaTorah, so you can't ask a guy to take soup out of the refrigerator and put it next to the fire. According to the Magen Avram's approach in the Rama. But according to the approach of the Mishnah Berurah and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Moshe Feinstein, that may ikar hadin the Ramah holds ein bishal achar bishal by dover lach, that was already heated but cooled down, so you could ask a guy to put it next to the fire. That's one nafgamina. Second nafgamina, the Shvisas HaShabbos writes that maybe the chumrah of the Ramah by Nitztanin Legamre, again, this idea of the Ramah by Nitztanin Legamre, which according to the Mishnah Berurah, Reb Moshe Feinstein, and Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is only a Chumrah, maybe that Chumrah only applies when there's a significant amount of liquid. But if I have a few drops on the ladle, Ken Zayin says the Shvisas HaShabbos that the whole Chumrah does not apply. That's already very, very interesting. Mr. Berger, how are you, sir? So again, so putting it on the fire we spoke about is going to be Oser Midrabanan because Shema Yechata Begecholim. So Rev Shechter has that piece in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi. Rev Shechter holds that the Isser of Hachazora, of putting something on a fire directly, is an Isser B'Shev Val Ta'asa. That if I walk by someone's house and I see that they have food that they just put on the fire, I'm mechuyev to take it off. Because they violate the Isser B'Shev Val Ta'asa because it's a gezeira shem yechata b'gecholim. And even if a guy does it, it's going to be usser. That is the way Rav Shechter understands it. The kula that we're talking about is only next to the fire, not on the fire. Again, even not like Rav Shechter, the whole din in Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yod Ches If Tes Vav is only next to the fire. The din does not apply on the fire at all. Correct. So then it could be that's going to be Mutter. The OU is Machmir on this, of course. The Star K B'makum Hatzorich will be Mekel on it to ask a guy to take soup out of the refrigerator. But you have a catering business and you served some soup Friday night, and you want to serve it again, hot soup, Shabbos lunch, can you ask a guy to reheat the soup? According to Magen Avraham, you're asking the guy to do an Isser D'Oraisa, certainly if the soup gets heated up, and it's going to be Aser Min HaTorah, whether it's next to the fire or on the fire, according to Magen Avraham, because it's really Bishul. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, Reb Moshe Feinstein, the Shvisas HaShabbos, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and the Minchas Kohen, that there's only an Isser D'Rabbanan when it's Nitztanein Legamre. So therefore, you could ask a guy to put it next to the fire. Can you ask a guy to put it on the fire? So Reb Shechter would be Machmir. And the Star K, based on Rabbi Heinemann, is Mekel. Years ago, I spent a Shabbos in Philadelphia. I was a scholar in residence. And Rabbi Aaron Felder's shul. And Rabbi Felder was Nifter, but he was a big defender of the Pesach of the Star K. And he gave me his Svarim, called She'elas Aharon. I have two volumes of it. And a bunch of the She'elas Aharon is he's writing back to Rav Schechter saying, how come you say it's usher for the guy to put the food on top of the fire? Like, he has a bunch of letters to this effect. And Rav Schechter basically says, no, it's a gezeirah d'rabbanan, so it's us even b'shev al tase, it's us ayde amir al nachri, there's yisurim d'rabbanan, which are different than gezeirahs d'rabbanan. That's Rav Schechter's take on Judaism. So, we so far as two nafgaminas between the Magen Avraham's approach and what I would say the approach of the majority of achronim is. The question is whether, according to the Ramah, when it's nitzan in the gamri, is it also min ha-toyre to reheat it, or also min rabbanon? The question is whether the Ramah fundamentally holds like the Rush, or fundamentally holds like the Rambam. So one nafkamina is amir al-nachri, another nafkamina is the shvisas ha-shabbos is kula, where there's a tiny bit of moisture. A third nafkamina could be as follows. Some of the old urns used to have a... It was an indicator thing where the water would be inside that indicator thing, and you could look at the indicator and see how much water remains in the urn. The thing is that in the old urns, I'm not talking about the new pump pots. In the new pump pots, the indicator is inside the insulation. But in the older urns, the indicator was outside the insulation. And there's a concern that when I draw water out of my urn, so water from the insulation, water from that pipe, excuse me, which is not insulated, is going to end up going into the urn, and that water is going to be cooked. So that's a whole discussion as to whether it's mutter to take the water out on Shabbos, because I might be cooking the water that was in that tiny indicator area. Chacham Ovadia Yosef, of course, is a super makel in Judaism, right? So Chacham Ovadia says it's mutter, because fundamentally he says it's a psik resha delo nichole. You're not happy with the amount of water, that tiny amount of water from the indicator that goes back into the urn. You don't care if it gets heated or doesn't get heated. It's a psik resha delo nichole. Since, according to many, according to the Rambam, ein bishal achar bishal, by a dover lach. So you could say it's going to be okay on the psik resha delo nichole for something that might be derabbanon. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Chelek Beis Simen Lamedaled Oschof Gimel. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach also fundamentally feels that it's going to be mutter because of the same thing, right? Again, providing the water was already boiled beforehand, but that water that was already boiled, in the worst case scenario, even if it mamish cooled down, so it's only osir midrabbanan. Rav Shlomo Zalman takes the approach, though, that he thinks it's a grumma on a drabbanan. It's a grumma because when I push the, I don't know what to call it, when I push the thing that makes the water come out of the urn, so the water doesn't come out of that indicator pipe immediately. The water only comes out of the indicator pipe after the water leaves the urn. There's a teeny drop of a time delay. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, because of that teeny drop of the time delay, it's called a grumma, and we could be maker on a grumma on something which is usser midrabbanan, and the Ramah fundamentally holds, even were it to be nitztanin legamrei, it's usser midrabbanan. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's take on the situation. That was his initial take. After he, yeah? So it could be that it is nitztanin legamrei. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach felt initially. But then later on, he says, he writes at the end of that, Chelek Beis Simen Lamedaled Oischof Gimel, he has an addendum. He says, I spoke to some experts, and the experts said that it's not nitztanin legamrei. Again, nitztanin legamrei probably means that it reaches room temperature. They're saying that it never, the water, in, even though there's insulation between that indicator tube and the urn, but it is lo nitztanin legamrei, and therefore it's lo nitztanin legamrei. It's heter gomer, according to the Ramah. You don't have to come on to fancy razzle-dazzle grumma svaris. We also noted another potential nafkamina is cleaning out your cup before you make the second cup of tea. Right? There's a few droplets left in the cup. Now, those droplets are nitztanin legamrei. According to the Ramah, by nitztanin legamrei me ikar hadin, it should be mutter, but there's a chumra. So should I be machmir to dry the cup? Well, right, like we spoke about beforehand, this case is really a case of an irui, right? So there's an additional svara that it might not be bishul because the machlokes between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam about the status of irui. So there's another svara to be mekel, and maybe you don't have to be megabev chumrat. Maybe you don't have to put all the chumras together. Let's just talk about one last issue. Sfaradim hold that fundamentally yesh bishul achar bishul by davar lach. Right? We pointed out it's a strange thing. Sfaradim hold like the Rush. Yesh bishul achar bishul by davar lach. Ashkenazim hold ein bishul achar, the way we'll say, like the Rov Akronim, achar, the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah, who say that ein bishul achar bishul by davar lach, and it's heter gomor as long as it's lo nitzdan in legamrei. Can a Sfaradi ask an Ashkenazi to reheat a liquid for him when it's lo nitztanin legamrei? Can a Sfaradi ask an Ashkenazi, right? We speak about Shabbos Goyim. This is a Shabbos Yid. Usually, right? And in this case, the Ashkenazi is the Shabbos Yid. Can the Sfaradi ask the Ashkenazi to reheat the liquid? So, most poskim say, What were you saying? I didn't hear you. What are the Yemenites doing different? Oh. Yeah, so again, so can you eat in a Yemenite house, right? So the Yemenites will paskin straight like the Rambam, l'cha'ora. Yeah, and they're going to reheat liquids. So can you, right? So here's the thing. When you have a group of Jews who are relying on a legitimate shita, so the pashtus is you're allowed to ask them to do the thing for you. What's the, right? For this Jew, he's an Ashkenazi, right? He's a Yemenite. Koz man shelo nitztanin legamrei, for the Ashkenazim it's heter gomor. For the Yemenite, it's mutter, even if it's nitztanin legamrei. So what's the problem asking him to do anything? And this is the pshat, this is the psak of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. For some reason, Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, he passed away a couple of years ago. He was one of the poskim for the OU. Rabbi Belsky has a tshuva sefer called the Mishnas Halevi. I would not have bought it. I have to admit, I don't think I would have bought the sefer. Someone gave it to me as a gift. Don't be choshed that I spent money on it. But in Rabbi Belsky's sefer, maybe I shouldn't say that on tape, whatever. In Rabbi Belsky's sefer, so he says, he talks about opening bottle caps on Shabbos. You know, there are some people who are machmir not to open bottle caps. Some people are mekel to open bottle caps. Both are legitimate shitas and poskim. Says Rabbi Belsky, you know what? You're allowed to follow your posek if you do it for you. But you can't follow your posek if you're doing something for me. According to my poskim, I'm a Sfaradi. According to my poskim, it's usur to reheat the liquid because the liquid dropped beneath Yad Soledespo. So for me, I can't ask you to do it because I'm asking you to do something that's illegitimate. That's usur. So Rabbi Belsky says it's mamish usur to ask somebody who's mekel on the bottle caps to open the bottle cap for you. It would be usur, according to Rabbi Belsky, for a Sfaradi to ask an Ashkenazi to reheat liquid for him. Domani, I don't like this psak at all. I don't like the psak of Rabbi Belsky at all. It seems to me that relying on a legitimate shita is heter gomor. There's no lifnei iver. The Stei Chemed writes, there's no lifnei iver on something that's a legitimate shita. The context of this steichem, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this anymore, is whether you're allowed to ask somebody to light your cigarette on Tisha B'Av. There's a whole discussion in Achronim, in the older Achronim, about smoking on Tisha B'Av, because remember, there were poskim who felt that you have to make a Birchas HaNehenin on smoking, right? Abba, don't listen. There were poskim who felt that smoking is good for you, right? This was an old thing. So if it's... So that's one... So there are some who say that you are allowed to smoke in general. If you're allowed to smoke in general, are you allowed to smoke on Yontiv? Is it called Ochel Nefesh? So the Pnei Yehoshua famously said that smoking on Yontiv is mutter because it's Ochel Nefesh, because it's good for you, it's geshmak. There's a tshuva I saw from one of the Skvera Dayonim, who writes as follows, that even after the Surgeon General's warning, and even after we know that smoking is bad for you, but it's still mutter to smoke on Yontiv, he says, because it's the same thing as antibiotics. Antibiotics are good for you in some ways, but they might have a side effect. So this is food. It's geschmack of food. It's a cigarette. It tastes great. There might be a side effect, but tell me, you're allowed to eat an omelet on Yontiv? Of course, you're allowed to cook an omelet, eat an omelet on Yontiv. It's food. It has a side effect. It has cholesterol. It might clog up your arteries. It's vas. I happen to think that this Skvera Dayan who wrote this was smoking something else. I don't think that. So again, this is based on if you hold it's mutter to smoke during the year, are you allowed to smoke on Yontiv? And if you hold it's mutter to smoke during the year, are you allowed to smoke on Tisha B'Av after Chatzais? So the Stei Chemed has an arichos about this. He says, since there's a machlokas haposkim, whether you're allowed to smoke on Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, even if I myself am machmir, not to smoke on Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, but I'm allowed to light your cigarette for you on Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, because it's not lifnei iver. Because I'm doing something that, according to legitimate poskim, is okay. You can ask me to light your cigarette for you, right? Etc. So, again, I think the Pesach of Rabbi Belsky is interesting, but L'cha'ora, Nir Lofi and Nias Daiti, like they quote from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that an Asfaradi is allowed to ask an Ashkenazi to reheat the liquid, which is Lo Nitztanein Legamrei. Okay. Again, the Pashtus in the Rambam is that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is a categorical statement even by a Dover Lach. Rabbi Willig has an unusual read of the Rambam, which like changes all of Judaism. The Pashtus in Judaism is that the Rambam holds Ein Bishul Achar Bishul B'Dover Lach, the Rush holds Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul B'Dover Lach, and this is a strange case where the Ramah paskins like the Rambam and the Mechaber paskins like the Rush, right? Like Reb Velvel says by Chanukah, this is unusual. I think that's standard Judaism. Adkan, Rabbi Willig has a very creative read of the Rambam. Again, Rabbi Willig's Shi'urim on Bishul are very complicated. I think this is normative, normal, mainstream Yiddishkeit. Okay, Yashikaya, thank you.